Hello and welcome to the podcast edition of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with baseball writers and authors, artists and musicians, filmmakers, basically anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture. Because that's our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. In the Seinfeld episode, The Boyfriend, Jerry and George Costanza encounter guest star and Mets player Keith Hernandez at their gym. Jerry tells George that Keith is a Civil War buff. George says, I'd love to be a Civil War buff. What do you have to do to be a buff? That's the way I feel about laureates. How does one get that position? I'd like to be a laureate. Dick Flavin, the PA announcer for the Boston Red Sox day games at Fenway Park, has that distinction, having been appointed the team's poet laureate. The 79-year-old Quincy native has enjoyed a varied career, playwright, political commentator, and longtime satirist for WBZ-TV. He has received 7 Emmy Awards for television writing and commentary, and was the narrator of The Teammates, an ESPN documentary that was nominated for 3 Emmys in 2004. Flavin was inducted into the Massachusetts Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2011. I spoke with him recently about his new book, Red Sox Rhymes, Verses and Curses, and the difficult task of finding a rhyme for Yastrzemski. Dick Flavin, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thank you, Ron.
So, how does one get to be a poet laureate?
By accident, I think, is the key of phrase. I've always loved baseball. I tell people that I was born a Red Sox fan and baptized a Catholic, and that's about the order of things in this part of the country. And I fell in love with Casey at the Bat in about the third grade, and I loved hearing it more than reading it. I loved the cadence of the words as it built up to the conclusion. And as I got further on during school, I found other poets whose stuff was more meant to be said than to be read. People like Robert Service and Kipling and the like. And I ended up trying my own hand at it just for fun. And it was many years though before I put together the two things that I loved so much, the poetry and the baseball. And when I did, it was like an epiphany for me. I said, boy, I've got something going here, and I've just run with it ever since.
Now, well, you bring up a good point. I think a lot of young people find poetry boring because they read it and they don't hear it. But when it's read to you and interpreted by either the person who wrote the poem or someone else, it brings it to life in a different way. Now, you've come to baseball relatively, I mean, this position and that of PA announcer for the Boston Red Sox, relatively late in life, haven't you?
Yes.
What were you doing before this?
Oh, I was, for many, many years, I was on WBZ-TV in Boston as a commentator and would from time to time do some of my commentaries in rhyme because I found that it had an impact on people. People tended to pay more attention and to retain what you were saying longer if you made it a little different and did a little rhyme and put a little twist at the end. So it was a long while before we got a formal relationship with the Red Sox. I've had kind of an informal relation with them for years and years. Besides being just a fan, I've always done a lot of speaking and charitable appearances and got to know a lot of the old players that way and some of the people in management. And so there's always been that relationship. What happened with the public address announcing is that Carl Bean, who preceded me, passed away. And that's one of those jobs that, you know, it doesn't open up unless the guy dies, because nobody quits that job. It's too good a gig.
That's another thing I wanted to ask about, the poet laureate thing. That's a business for life, isn't it? That's not an elected thing where there are
taxpayers
involved.
Yeah.
What is you're also the senior ambassador for the Red Sox. What does that entail?
It entails making appearances for them. I'll go around to community organizations and speak, do these little poems and recitations and observations about the Red Sox and all. And during games, I'll go up to some of the luxury suites and talk to some of the people in the in those suites during the ball game. So it keeps me hopping pretty well.
Now, your new book, Verses and Curses, Red Sox Rhymes, is a collection of poems done over the years. As divided in sections, you write some very touching pieces about some of the old players, the Teddy Williams, Bobby Doerr, Dom DiMaggio, and Jimmy Pesci. You also narrated the ESPN documentary based on David Halberstam's book, The Teammates. Now, these are the players of your youth.
Yeah.
So there must. So, as a fan of the team, you've seen a lot. You've seen them go from the glory days of these guys to the down days of the 50s and 60s, back up to the impossible years, and since then. This must offer you a lot of fodder for your poetry.
It does indeed. It does indeed.
Do you find it easier to write about the good times or the bad times?
Oh, gee, you need a little distance for the bad times, because you need to find the humor in it and the pathos in it. So when you're living through the bad times, it's not always easy to put them into perspective when you feel that you want to slit your wrists, you know.
Now, you mentioned Casey at the Bat before. I think two of the most parodied poems are Casey and the Bat and The Night Before Christmas, and you cover both in this book.
Yeah.
Do you agonize for hours or days over the proper wording and meter, or does this stuff come easily to you?
It depends. Some days, sometimes it just comes to you, and other times you... You agonize over it for days and weeks. So it depends. Sometimes you say, "Boy, this is easy," and you know, "How did I ever fall into this? This is a great thing." And there's other times you say, "Oh my God, how am I gonna last through this?"
Now, do you share your work before publication with others to get their opinions on things, or are you strictly a one-man operation?
Well, I'm a one-man operation, but because I'm making so many appearances, I test market these things, which, you know, so you find out early on what reaches people and what doesn't.
So what do you
I don't throw many of.
What do you find
reaching? I don't
people?
Find.
What type of?
I think the humorous twist on the end of some of these is the thing that really gets to them. And also, when you talk about things that moved you in your youth, you stir something within people. When I do a little verse on Fenway Park, for example, that really reaches people, particularly when you're in the park and doing it, and you're talking about the history of the thing and the traditions of the thing and the great players that have been there over the years. It moves people.
Now, you've written poems about some of the modern players, like Pablo Sandoval and Dustin Pedroia. Do you share your poems with them? And do you get a sense of, like, how do you feel about being immortalized like this?
Well, the players that are currently with the team, I don't get to know them very well while they're with them. They live in cocoons. They live a very protected life between the clubhouse and the road and all that. You don't really get to know them. Some of them reach out and do a lot of charitable work while they're playing. And I get to know them a little bit, like Tim Wakefield I get to know, and Veritek I get to know when they were playing. But as a rule, I get to know them after they stop playing. When they realize that, they have to check themselves in and out of a hotel. And they learn how to write a check. They've never had to do those things.
So it's very different than back in the days of Ted Williams and those guys.
It's a different life that they live.
The team and they
yes.
ate with the players, they socialize with the players.
Yeah.
So you must miss that part. Or do you miss that part? Because some of those guys, I imagine, well, in those days could have been jerks too.
Oh, sure. But of course, I wasn't part of it
back in those days. So do you think you would have enjoyed that had you been? Or would that have interfered with your ability to do this type of work?
I don't know. I think if I got too close to them, it would interfere with it. Because I try to write these things from a fan's perspective. From the guy who's sitting in the stands or watching at home on the television and living and dying with these guys, but not really with them because they're apart from them in so many ways. I try to do these things from a fan's perspective.
When you read your poems after the book, since the book has come out, and you do, do you entertain requests? Do people say, could you please do this poem or this poem?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Is there something that stands out more than any of the others?
Oh, I think Long Live Fenway Park is the one I get the most call for.
Now, do you only do appearances outside of the New England area, correct?
Sometimes, yes. I'm going to be in Nashville next month, and I'll be in San Diego and Los Angeles next month.
So I'd be interested to see what kind of fan base reaction you get to these poems out there, so far removed from Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, because Red Sox Nation is, this ownership has made them a national brand. There are pockets of Red Sox fans all over the country. And, I was in a bar room in New York City, of all places, 2 weeks ago, signing books for a club called the Blowhards Club, which is all Red Sox fanatic players. They're people who live and work in New York. Most of them grew up around New England and have never lost their affinity for the Red Sox. But, it's hard to be a Red Sox fan when you're living in the middle of a bunch of New York Yankees people.
Certainly. I recall when we made one of our trips to New England to visit friends, my daughter at the time was probably about 9 or 10 years old and a big Yankee fan. She insisted on wearing her Derek Jeter jersey when we were tooling around town, but because she was this cute little kid, no harm came to her. I can only imagine what it might have been if I'd been wearing the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But they say that the Red Sox and the Yankees are two of the teams that are most written about, perhaps because New York and Boston are the two most literate towns in the country. Tell me about the Great Fenway Park Writers Series.
The Fenway Park Writers Series is a terrific organization. And there's a guy just left here. Lost my train of thought. It's a terrific organization. It's run by a fellow named George Mitrovitz, who comes all the way out from San Diego to do these events. And there are authors of books that come in and will do a reading or talk about their book and answer questions. They are mostly baseball books or sports books, but he's had Gloria Steinem and Supreme Court justices and all that and the Red Sox sponsor it and pay for it, and it's a terrific thing.
As far as you know, do any other teams? Is there a poet laureate for any other baseball team?
I don't think so. I think
writer series.
I think I'm the world's only unicorn. You know.
I was listening to one of my favorite shows, is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and you were a guest on that earlier.
Yeah.
And you were talking about one of my favorite poems, is Rhyming Yastrzemski.
Yeah.
So my challenge to you is, I would like to see a poem about Kevin Youkilis and see how you go about rhyming his name.
Yeah, but Youkilis is another tough one. And now I've got Dombrowski to worry about now with the Red Sox.
We've been talking with Dick Flavin, author of Red Sox Rhymes, Verses, and Cursons. Dick Flavin, the Boston Red Sox Poet Laureate. Dick, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
And that was our bookshelf conversation with Dick Flavin. My apologies for the poor quality of the audio. I just didn't think I could put Mr. Flavin through that again, so I'm presenting it as is and hoping that something like that won't happen again. Tune in again next time when our guest will be Danny Perry, author of Baseball Immortal, Derek Jeter, A Career in Quotes. And remember, for the latest news on baseball books and pop culture, please visit Ron Kaplan's baseballbookshelf.com. If you have any questions or suggestions, please send them to me at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. See you next time.